Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we dive deeper into the BioLab story and also on the 2-year anniversary of the incident of Breonna Taylor. We talk to the police officer that was involved for his first-person perspective. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, that's charliekirk.com/support. Or get involved today with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. At Turning Point USA, it's your place to be able to get engaged, get involved, start high school or college chapters all across the country. tpusa.com is the place where we make hope happen. tpusa.com. Turning Point USA is the American flagship for freedom. So get engaged, get involved, where we exist to build strong citizens around things that matter. tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. I'm always fascinated by the totalitarian hobbies of the American elites. I mean, their lives are very vacant and devoid of purpose. So they kind of hop from one kind of political movement to the other, try to scream at the top of their lungs as saying that, if you do not agree with everything that we say, you're a terrible person and we want to imprison you. Do we have the Whoopi Goldberg clip from yesterday? We got to get that. It's just one example of many. But there is this kind of continual theme that if you disagree with the status quo, as we've built out, such as you don't believe in the competency of our leaders, you don't think success could be easily achieved, you also believe that this might destabilize the United States' positions at the world reserve currency, all these very rational things, that you're somehow an agent of Putin. And this is happening not just from left-wing media, but even people on the right are saying this as well. I mean, you take one person, for example, Adam Kinzinger, who's been wrong about every major foreign policy situation since he got elected. Adam Kinzinger says, I refuse to validate the evil Tucker Carlson's propaganda program. This is all around this idea of whether or not there are bio labs in Ukraine, and whether the United States is funding them. We're going to separate fact from fiction on that because for whatever reason, this is kind of one of the most amazing gaslighting experiments I personally have ever lived through, where you could see so easily in front of you what's actually happening. And they're like, no, that's not happening. Play cut 42.
I got an invitation to do Tucker Carlson's show tonight, and there's no way I'll go on his show for a number of reasons. But first, let me state that his insistence that the West was provoking war with Putin, his spreading lies about biolabs, and his continued spewing of conspiracy theories are nothing but complete evil. His show is full of Russian propaganda and not news. And I will not validate his show by making an appearance.
Validate his show by making an appearance. No, you're just scared he's actually going to ask you direct questions. So Adam Kinzinger, we'd love to have you on our program. In fact, we will give you this. We will allow you to have a minute uninterrupted. I'll get a minute uninterrupted. That way, no one will be interrupting each other. Adam, you're welcome on our show anytime. We're both from Illinois. I knew you years ago. I've never been anything but fair towards you, Adam. So you could come on here anytime. We have a lot of mutual friends, or at least we used to. So Adam Kinzinger is calling Tucker Carlson all of that a propaganda program, all around this idea of these biolabs. And it's such a weird story that everyone kind of springs into this posture of that you're some sort of propaganda pusher because you're just mentioning the fact that the United States very well might have been involved in funding biolaboratories. So this all kind of stemmed from Tulsi Gabbard in Cut 48, who actually served in our military, and Adam did as well, playing Cut 48, saying that we know about Ukrainian biolaboratories and how they can be a danger. Play cut 48.
Here are the undeniable facts. There are 25 to 30 U.S.-funded biolabs in Ukraine. According to the U.S. government, these biolabs are conducting research on dangerous pathogens. Ukraine is in an active war zone with widespread bombing, artillery, and shelling, and these facilities even in the best of circumstances, could easily be compromised and release these deadly pathogens.
Now, it wouldn't be as if we have any recent experience of a viral pathogen escaping from a laboratory and altering our way of life. So stop looking, everybody. Stop watching. Just, you know, keep on making, you know, Zelensky videos on TikTok. Okay, so here's what we know. Quote, in a remarkable off-camera briefing held last week, the Department of Defense further spoke about these claims in that briefing. An unidentified, quote, senior Department of Defense official said among a few things, quote, a few key points about the Department of Defense's Cooperative Threat Reduction Program and Biological Threat Reduction Program activities in Ukraine. This is part of the Department of Defense's Cooperative Threat Reduction Program. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So the Department of Defense is saying, according to the Department of Defense, that, quote, in Ukraine, they have a Cooperative Threat Reduction Program and a Biological Threat Reduction Program. That this is in part of the Department of Defense's Cooperative Threat Reduction Program. Through this program, the Department of Defense says, quote, we have invested approximately $200 million in Ukraine since 2005. The Department of Defense says, you might say, Charlie, what's your source? The Department of Defense's website. They said, quote, we have begun supporting 46 Ukrainian labs, health facilities, and diagnostic sites. The Department of Defense's CTCR or CTR program began its biological work with Ukraine to eliminate the remnants of the Soviets' illegal biological weapon program left in the Soviets' successor states after the USSR fell. It says, quote, there are cooperative threat reduction is what CTR is. There are no DOD bioweapon labs in Ukraine or anywhere else in the world. The first and most obvious point about the statement is that admission that A, these laboratories exist, and B, we've given them money. So wait, they say there's no bio labs, but then they say that there's a Cooperative Threat Reduction Program of the Biological Threat Reduction Program. And why are we giving $200 million to Ukraine? That I can't understand to do this. So according to DOD's own website, we've invested $200 million. We supported 46 Ukrainian labs, health facilities, and diagnostic sites. Now, was there gain-of-function research done in this? What sort of research was done? What sort of development was done here? So here's what I don't understand. If we've been spending that money since 2005 as allegedly trying to end them, we're trying to, quote, eliminate the remnants of the Soviets' illegal biological weapon. Why does that take 17 years? If you want to end bioweapon sites, why is that a 17-year project? Why did the government lie about this story when it first broke? The government totally lied about it, of course. That's what the government does. It's almost as if the government wasn't trying to end these laboratories. It's as if they were trying to continue them. So the DOD says, look, okay, these labs were built by the Soviet Union. And yes, we spent $200 million at 46 of them, but we were really just trying to sunset them. Okay, why does it take 17 years to sunset a biolab? I get maybe 2 years. I mean, let's just say we're grading on the TSA curve, 5 years, okay? How about 10? A decade. But 17 years? Also, if we're going to be conducting these research in labs, why don't we do that at, I don't know, Berkeley, Harvard, Stanford? I mean, we have the best research facilities on the planet, and we have to go to Odessa to go research Ebola right on the Russian border? Where is this going? What type of research was being done? Who authorized this? Was Anthony Fauci involved? These are all things that I want answers to, and you should too. Provide the answers, and we'll stop asking questions. So this old crow on CBS, he even admitted that there are biolaboratories in Ukraine, and they can be used to weaponize pathogens. If CBS is saying it, why are lawmakers like Adam Kinzinger saying that this is Russian propaganda, even though it's on the DOD website, Playcut 49?
Pentagon official I talked to this morning said there is no movement of chemical weapons into Ukraine. At least they're not seeing the signs of it. The concern is that the Russians will seize one of these biomedical research facilities that Ukraine has, where they do research on deadly pathogens like botulism and anthrax, seize one of those facilities, weaponize the pathogen, and then blame it on Ukraine, and the U.S., because the U.S. has been providing support for some of the research being done in those facilities.
This whole thing feels identical to what we went through with the Wuhan Institute of Virology lab leak. They smear you. They lie about you. Then they're like, oh, yeah, actually, it did come from a lab. Now, we just got fact-checked by Facebook this morning for even mentioning biolabs, even though the DOD says they're doing it, even though the old crow on CBS is like, oh, yeah, biolabs are a huge threat. So the philosopher queen herself, Whoopi Goldberg, who just a couple of weeks ago, let's remember, said the Holocaust was not inspired by race and like bizarrely double and triple down on that, comes out in this exchange on The View. This is cut 40, where everyone on The View agrees on everything. It's just kind of, it's not The View. It is like the view of the state. It's like Anna Navarro and Alyssa Farah, who I knew when she worked in the White House. And now she's just become like a complete propagandist of the totalitarian left. It's really kind of tells you a lot about who is actually staffing our government in the Trump administration, actually. So there's Anna Navarro and all these people kind of yammering on. And then there's Whoopi Goldberg, who just says the most unbelievable thing. Play tape and we'll go through it.
Yeah. And I think DOJ, in the same way that it is setting up a task force to investigate oligarchs, should look into people who are Russian propagandists and shilling for Putin. That's being, if you are a foreign asset to a dictator, mm-hmm. it should be investigated.
That's not the one. I want the Whoopi Goldberg tape, please. So that's the one of Anna Navarro calling for the Department of Justice to be investigated. That's kind of the new thing. It's like, oh, yeah, let's use the DOJ. Let's not investigate foreign ties to Hunter Biden, who might be actually compromising the entire government. But you know who we need to investigate? A cable talk show host, because he has a contrarian view of whether or not we should get involved in a war 5,000 miles away. That's who we should use the Department of Justice for. Now, if we can't get the Whoopi Goldberg tape, I'll just kind of tell you what she says. So this – what I love about watching – I don't watch The View. It's tough. As Tucker Carlson calls it, he says it's an IQ killer. I think that's perfect. But when I watch some of the tapes is that they always try to outdo one another. They're just like screaming over each other, just kind of escalates. And then Whoopi Goldberg just kind of parachutes in. She says, yeah, we used to arrest people for this. Like, really, Whoopi, when did we ever arrest people for having an opinion? Like, what – and what I love about this is that – is that Whoopi's entire deal is that anything that happened before is like really bad, right? Slavery, systemic racism, all this stuff she can't stop talking about. It's like, wait a second. So you want to go back to something, Whoopi? It's like you want to go back to like floggings and beatings? Like, I'm not really sure the whole kind of thought process behind that. So we'll get that tape as we move forward here. Okay, so there's another – I mean, I could play one after the other of this kind of ridiculous – you know, narrative that is being pushed. And now we're seeing from even the tech companies, they're cracking down on alleged Russian disinformation. DuckDuckGo, which is supposed to be a good search engine, stop using DuckDuckGo. And YouTube are cracking down on Russian disinformation, allegedly. Play cut 10.
Cracking down on Russian disinformation has been used by all kinds of people, particularly big tech, to censor speech. Now, even the search engine DuckDuckGo, which you may use because they promised you that they would not use algorithms to suppress your speech or track your searches online, has joined the herd. DuckDuckGo's CEO is promising that the search engine will downrank sites that are, quote, associated with Russian disinformation. Associated with. Okay. In other words, saying things the Biden administration doesn't like. YouTube has just removed an episode of the Full Send podcast featuring Donald Trump. It got 5 million views in 24 hours, but they couldn't handle it. So they hid it.
And they got rid of them. Look, I've been using ExpressVPN for at least 5 years, and now it's the VPN that I trust. And here's something that blows my mind. These guys actually engineer their own VPN protocol called Lightway to keep your data secure without sacrificing speed. That's what I love about ExpressVPN. No trade-offs. If you don't know what a VPN is, it stands for a virtual private network. ExpressVPN is an app that encrypts 100% of your network data and reroutes it through a secure server. This is especially important when you use public Wi-Fi. Not only can the admins see everything you're doing, but hackers connected to the same network can steal your account logins and financial details. Because they engineered their own VPN protocol, all the other major VPNs have the same off-the-shelf protocol. Look, it's like making brownies using a mix. Sure, you might add an extra egg in there or a dash of vanilla to give it an edge, but the foundation is still the same. Nothing like using your own recipe. This level of bespoke technology is what allows ExpressVPN, the best VPN out there, to provide superior speeds and enhanced privacy and protection. It's 2022. You need to use a VPN every time you go online. If you haven't used one yet, visit expressvpn.com/Charlie and get 3 extra months free. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie, expressvpn.com/Charlie to learn more. I visit college campuses all across the country with Turning Point USA, and I have to hear all of the latest points of outrage. And one of the things that many young people will mention repeatedly is the incident involving Breonna Taylor, an incident that happened in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, this is not just some one-off incident. This was a civilizational defining event. It didn't get as much coverage as, of course, the George Floyd situation, but the Breonna Taylor incident, the Breonna Taylor raid, has been used by activist groups, by people that go to corporations to raise tons of money as a rallying cry. The problem is what most people think about what happened there, which has now been used to justify public policy changes and power grabs. Most of it is a lie. And the man who was involved himself in that situation the night Breonna Taylor was shot is John Mattingly, and he has a new book to tell us the truth, and he's with us right now. John, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Appreciate you having me, Charlie. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So tell us why you wrote the book and walk us through what happened that evening versus what the media actually reported happening that evening.
Well, the entire reason for the book is to simply get some of the truth out. For 2 years, we've been silenced. Our city leaders, our department have refused to debunk any of the lies that were put out. Therefore, the officers involved have all been demonized. And to put it quite frankly, we have to get the truth out because for future generations of police officers that are coming after me, they have been just totally demoralized. And the more officers that you run off from departments, the more people that get chased away from this great calling. And that's what it is. It's a calling. It's not just a job. But the more people get chased away from it, for fear of prosecution, for doing the job that you're trained to do and asked to do, then you're going to get corruption that sets in and just filters up the ranks of command. And we don't want that in America. So on 2 years ago, on March 13th, we were doing a search warrant on an apartment that belonged to Breonna Taylor. Her ex-boyfriend, Jamarcus Glover, had been selling narcotics. He had been locked up 5 previous times for guns and drugs in the past 2 years. And she bailed him out in January. His vehicle was registered to her house, his bank accounts, his license said that he lived there. When she bailed him out in January, they put that address as his. And so everything tied back to Breonna's apartment. Now, do I think she was out there personally selling the narcotics? No, I don't. But I do know that she was holding money for them and she was allowing things to come filtered through her apartment that shouldn't have been, which put her directly in target and directly in the limelight of the police for that night. So when we showed up to that apartment, we banged, we knocked, and we announced and were so loud that one of the residents upstairs came down, opened his door and was like, "What are you guys doing?" And there was a little argument that ensued between us. He finally went back in his apartment. We continued banging on the door, knocking and announcing loudly. And after about a minute, there was no response and we had to take action. You know, at some point you've got to move. And so we rammed the door, which is a utility that we use to force the door open. And as soon as that door came open and I started to step in the doorway, I was met with 2 individuals down a hallway and they were almost blended together. They were so close. It was a dark hallway about 30 feet away. And all I could see was the end of a gun that Kenneth Walker was standing there waiting for us. And he fired the weapon and it struck me. We returned fire. And unfortunately, Kenneth Walker, being the coward he is, he dove out of the way behind a wall that was right there in the hallway. And Breonna attempted to follow him and she was caught in the crossfire and she perished. As soon as that incident took place, I was able to get out of the hallway and into the street where they were able to put a tourniquet on my femoral artery that had been severed. And save my life.
Wow. So One of the narratives that was pushed forward is that Breonna Taylor was in the bed and was shot in the bed in a no-knock raid. So you already debunked the no-knock raid. You said you repeatedly knocked, and then you came in, and there was a long hallway, and this individual, Kenneth Walker, who I think survived the shooting. Is that right? Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. Matter of fact, when they first brought him out, he said that it was Breonna that shot me, not him. So it just goes to show his character and the lies he's willing to tell to keep himself out of trouble.
Yeah, he's a criminal. And so proven in a court of law. So then he goes out of the way, right, and dashes out of the way. And then Breonna, who's not in bed, right? So there is this kind of narrative that the way that it was portrayed is she was peacefully sleeping in her bed and was caught, you know, while trying to hide under the sheets, basically. How did that ever get into the news narrative?
That was a Ben Crump push. As soon as he got on board with this after Ahmaud Arbery, he came to town with his circus, stirred things up, riled the people up, continued to spread lies. And again, that's one of the easy things that the department could have debunked from the get-go and refused to for whatever reason. We begged them to do it, and they said, no, it would set precedent for future cases. We can't do that. And so we were like, so you'd rather the city burn and officers be put in danger than to correct a narrative. And that's the stance they took. That's the stance they continue to take to this day. So she wasn't in bed. She may have been asleep before we got there. But again, had we conducted a no-knock, she would have been in bed, and you wouldn't even know me because I don't think any of this would have taken place.
Yeah, I mean, look, and it wasn't a no-knock, and that's the point, right, is that was part of the narrative. So, and this is the two-year anniversary, right, of the week that it happened. USA Today has an article that came out just an hour ago. The anniversary of Breonna Taylor's death just passed quietly, and I'm so disappointed. It writes about how this was a murder is the word that is used, how this is a wrongful killing, all these sorts of different things. It goes on and on and on and on, endlessly almost. And so what's so striking is that this is a much more complicated and nuanced situation. What was it that kind of motivated the media to want to slander this so badly? I mean, this must have been so frustrating. I mean, you almost lost your life because you were shot at.
Yeah, the frustration, it was just mind-boggling. So I believe a lot of it had to do with the fact that we were in the 2020 elections, because we simply, I mean, we reached out to Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul and we're like, hey, is there anything you guys can do? Because we had hits on our lives that were placed, and both of them were like, yeah, we really can't get involved. So people were scared to step up. People were scared to step up and say, hey, these guys, there was 100,000 overdose deaths last year. We're out there trying to prevent this, trying to save lives. And yet somehow we became the bad guys for me getting shot. And that also, you know, the media storm blew up whenever I countersued Kenneth Walker. It wasn't because I want Kenneth Walker's money. I don't think he's going to have any. He's going to blow through it. It's not about that. It's the principle that he shoots me while doing illegal activity and then turns around and sues me for it. And people are outraged that I want to defend myself. You know, that just goes to show you the type of environment that we're in right now, that the bad guys are able to have freedom to do whatever they want. Yet when you stand up and try to fight back and push against it, we're the ones that get attacked. Same way with you on the political stance. It's no different.
Well, I've had a lot of things done to me. I have not been shot at, and nor have I nearly died like you have. The book is 12 Seconds in the Dark. And so I'm just going to read some of these headlines, and this is why it's so newsy, right? Front page of the Washington Post, quote, 2 years after Breonna Taylor's death, her family wants answers. We still don't know what happened. It says Breonna Taylor's family supporters push for justice, blah, 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 all this stuff. But what they don't want to talk about, and it's a tragedy, right? And we don't want bystanders to die. But she wasn't in her bed. But also is that this thug, this criminal started shooting at you. You nearly died, and that she got caught in the crossfire, right? That's not like the narrative that you just kind of came through the back door and performed an execution when someone was in their bed. So, I mean, can you just walk through, I mean, you the kind of how this happened back and forth, that you guys were returning fire after someone was trying to kill you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else they expect. When we're there legally to conduct a search warrant signed by a judge, and as we're coming in, I receive fire. I know I'm hit. So we fire back at the threat. And the way we're trained is you fire until the threat is stopped. So in that split second, I mean, the rounds from beginning, from the door opening until the very end was less than 10 seconds. I mean, this thing happened very quickly.
Wow.
And my part of it lasted maybe 2 seconds from the time I was shot to return fire and I got out of the way. So things are moving so rapidly. Your brain slows down, but things are moving rapidly. And in the dark with the echoes of the metal and the concrete and the flashing of the light kind of makes it like a strobe light effect, then it makes it difficult it's impossible to stop on a dime and go, okay, let me stop here and reevaluate while I'm being shot at. And that's what people expect. They expect superhuman type things that are just impossible. They watch too much TV is what it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were shot at, and it's a tragedy that she got caught in the crossfire. It's 12 Seconds in the Dark. Tell us a little more about the book.
All right. So it talks about a little bit of the early part of my life, the foundation. I'm a Christian. My dad's been a pastor for over 50 years. So that's embedded in me. And that's what got me through this tragedy. Just my strong faith in God and the support of family and friends. So it talks about that. It talks about the event, but then it talks about mainly what happened after the lack, all the things, the death threats, us having to move and sell our house, our family being uprooted, all the things that factor in that nobody knows about. All the people that tweet and say all these hateful things that stir up these problems, they don't think of what the consequences of those are for other people. And I just want people to see that in this book.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, John, for joining us. And everyone, pick up a copy of the book, 12 Seconds in the Dark. Thank you so much.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. People say this, and Plato actually said it first. Ignorance is the root and the stem of all evil. People say ignorance is bliss. Wrong. It's not. Are you reading the headlines? Are you looking around and seeing the things I am? Look, Americans are being hoodwinked by half-truths, deceit, and propaganda, and our country is almost unrecognizable. Normal is long gone, and the future is a dangerous place. That's why you need a preparedness plan, and that's why you need to turn to my friends at My Patriot Supply. Their website, MyPatriotSupply.com, carries everything you need for when the shelves get emptier. You are 9 meals away from anarchy, and our country could get even crazier. Their food tastes better and stays fresher for up to 25 years. They carry a whole selection of water purifiers, hospital-quality medical supplies, survival gear, and you name it. They thought of everything, so all you need to do is go to their website today. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Time is not on your side, but you are 9 meals away from anarchy. Do you have supplies? If not, you are not protecting your family. Build up your supplies like I have right now at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
As you heard, we went through in great detail kind of how the media is reacting to the entire BioLab story. So the philosopher queen herself, Whoopi Goldberg, she decided she has to weigh in on this. And just play cut 60.
Propaganda that has been brought down.
They used to arrest people for doing stuff like this. If they thought you were colluding with a Russian agent, if they thought you were putting out information or taking information and handing over to Russia, yeah. They used to actually investigate stuff like this. And I guess now, you know, there seems to be no bars. And people are not being told to hate Putin. Putin doesn't need a reason to be hated. It's pretty much clear.
He started a war.
He started
genocide.
An unnecessary
but this
war
is kind
that
of like,
wanted.
Isn't this contributing to the death?
Just arrest them all. I mean, come on. You notice how she just changes terms? We used to arrest people. I mean, come on, investigate. She's all over the place. But of course, it's a threat. It's a signal threat is what it is. They want that to go viral for anyone that dares to question the mainstream narrative. ABC goes after Tucker Carlson for, quote, being the Putin wing of the Republican Party. Play cut 47.
What seems to be almost the Putin wing of the Republican Party, which to be fair, is not highly, not prevalent much on Capitol Hill. But we've seen Tucker Carlson, basically repeat Russian propaganda night after night. What the hell is going on?
Well, first of all, before they fell in love with Putin, they fell in love with Orban and Hungary. Make America great again meant let's make America more like Hungary.
Now, of course, George Will used to be really interesting and smart, and now George Will is really boring, predictable, and just kind of a spokesperson and a mouthpiece, honestly, for the regime. Now, Viktor Orban has a completely different country than Vladimir Putin in Russia. Anyone with eyes to see can see that. In fact, Hungary has denounced the Russian aggression in Ukraine, but that's a bridge too far for Mr. Will. Maybe he's going to write another irrelevant book about baseball or something. So I want to get to this tape here. I think it's interesting from Senator Ron Johnson. It's about China and about China's image. Let's go cut 11.
China is worried about their image, and they need to understand that their image is being tarnished even further by literally their lack of response. They should be forcefully coming out against what Russia is doing, but they're not. Now, can we decouple from China overnight? No, but you begin the process.
There's going to be a lot of movement with China in the coming weeks. Now, we should have done everything we possibly could to keep China and Russia from coming into a partnership. We've decided not to do that. Said China and Russia are now closer than ever. Now, there are some signs that there might be some fault lines in that entire relationship, but we're forcing them into each other's arms. I kind of laugh. Somebody the other day, they said, you know what we have to do? We have to make sure that Russia doesn't become like Nazi Germany. You know how we're going to do that? We're going to deteriorate their currency. We're going to shut them off from the rest of the world and make... Wait a second. That doesn't seem like a good predicate to try to deter radicalism. Or we're going to try to make the dictators just kind of fall into each other's arms. And this all, of course, should center around China. But what is China doing? China is lecturing our own government about human rights abuses. Play cut 51.
There has been an endless string of malicious incidents involving deaths caused by police brutality in U.S. law enforcement. The CIA, using the so-called war on terror as a pretext, set up black sites in many countries where the so-called terrorist suspects were secretly held in arbitrary detention, and confessions were extorted by torture. China calls on Human Rights Council and the Special Rapporteur on Torture to pay closer attention to U.S. violation of human rights and urge it to adopt concrete measures to resolve relevant issues.
Yeah, it's the Americans that are the human rights abusers. Why are we putting up with this exactly? We're allowing China to trade potentially petrodollars to Saudi Arabia. Every single one of these dictators are in self-preservation mode right now. Without American leadership, without a strong American dollar, without American energy independence, without a strong American border, the world goes to bedlam. And you're seeing it unravel right now. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, take out your podcast app, type in Charlie Kirk Show. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.